The Atlanta Braves salvage a game in Oakland, getting a win on Wednesday afternoon, and they survive the month of May. We'll talk about the win on Wednesday, and I'll take you through some of the top performances from the month of May, all of that on today's episode of Locked On Braves. So let's get into it.
You are Locked On Braves, your daily Atlanta Braves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Braves, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta, where we cover your favorite Atlanta sports teams each and every day. I am your host, Jacob Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shorts.ball. Also, make sure you check out my written work over at bravestoday.com. Make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at @Locked_Braves. Send in any questions, comments, or feedback that you have for the podcast. We'll have our mailbag episode on Friday, so be looking for my tweet from the podcast Twitter account, @Locked_Braves, so you can submit your questions to be answered on that podcast. If you're new on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit that thumbs up button to help support the show. Appreciate all the support you give me and all of our everydayers out there. If you let me know you're an everydayer in the comment section on YouTube, I will get to those shout outs in Friday's episode. This episode in particular is brought to you by the Game Time app. Download the app now, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. On today's podcast, we'll be talking about the 4-2 win on Wednesday as the Braves avoid further embarrassment in Oakland, and they do get a win to salvage that series. So we'll discuss that, the performance by Jared Schuster, the mini breakout by the Braves offense, Ronald Acuna Jr. showing some really good signs that maybe a home run streak is coming. We'll talk about all of that. And then we're going to go through the month of May as we now turn the calendar to June. In our Through the League segment this week, we're going to take a look back at the month of May, the top performers for the Braves, the top performers league-wide. We'll go over that in our Through the League segment today and then set you up for the rest of the week. But let's start with the 4-2 win on Wednesday night. It was a Braves win. They're back in the win column. They are able to beat the Oakland Athletics. Another strong start from Jared Schuster, who's been really good since getting called back up. 5 1/3 innings, 3 hits, 4 walks, not great. 2 earned runs that he gave up in that 6th inning. 1 strikeout, only 68 pitches. A really weird, odd start for Jared Schuster on Wednesday afternoon. I thought maybe he was a little bit more wildly effective, but effective nonetheless. Only 3 whiffs on 27 swings. That's an 11% whiff rate. Would tell you not necessarily a dominant start, but you can see from the low pitch count, the Oakland Athletics were being highly aggressive against him. It felt like he was either a, you know, 1-2 pitch out, or it was a 4 or 5 pitch walk. Was pretty much what we saw most of this outing for Jared Schuster. 84.7 mile per hour average exit velocity again, so a lot of soft contact. Now, I want to kind of take a step back and look at this start and break it down, taking in mind the opponent and the Oakland Athletics, not a very good team, even though they just took 2 out of 3 from the Braves. 7 hard hit balls allowed by Jared Schuster in this game on 17 balls in play. Just 2 of those went for hits. So you could say that perhaps he was a little bit lucky in this one. 5 balls that had an expected batting average over 400 were outs in this game, including a couple of line outs. So definitely some good luck on the side of Jared Schuster in this one. He allowed the leadoff batter to reach in 3 of the first 4 innings. You had an error to start off the game, which was a tough error on Arcia, but then he also walked the leadoff batter twice in this outing. Got bailed out in a couple of those. They picked off Ruiz. They picked him off in all 3 games of this series. He got a double play in the 4th inning, and he worked himself out of a 2-1 no-out jam in the 3rd inning against the top of the Oakland order. Got helped out a little bit as Ruiz tried to bunt with runners on 1st and 2nd and nobody out. Popped up the bunt for an easy out, so he did get a little bit of help there, but still mostly worked himself out of that situation. Had back-to-back lineouts to start the 2nd inning, so really, you could say 1 through 4, not very sharp, had some things go his way. Fifth inning was really his best inning, and then he ran into some trouble in the sixth inning before ultimately getting pulled. So I think this may have actually been the worst of his 4 outings since coming back up. I think he just got a little bit lucky against the lineup. Not very good, but still, he got the job done. And at the end of the day, you know, that's what you want out of your starting pitcher. He got the job done against a bad lineup, as he should. You look at his May totals, 22 innings pitched, only 10 hits allowed. He's not giving up any hits right now. However, he's walked 10 batters and he's walked 7 in his last 2 outings. So you're starting to see those walks become a little bit more of an issue for Jared Schuster here now over those last couple of outings. 9 earned runs in the month of May, a 3.68 ERA, 2 home runs, 16 strikeouts, and again, just 1 in this last outing. He's definitely the 5th starter just based on pure stuff. Even though Soroka gave up more runs on Monday, I like the stuff that I saw from Soroka better than what I've seen from Jared Schuster. So I think he is the 5th starter. If somebody were to replace him, say if they wanted to give AJ Smith-Shawver a look in the rotation, I think it would be Jared Schuster who's the odd man out right now. We obviously got to see more from Soroka, got to see him improve, but he would be my last man out at this moment just based on the stuff and what I've seen so far, even though, again, he's got the job done in May. I mean, that's bottom line. Your 5th starter, he's given you 5 innings of 3 earned or less. If he does that each time out, I will take it every single time from Jared Schuster as your 5th starter. But, you know, if he does start to have a little bit of regression, gets knocked around a little bit, he does start giving up a lot of hits in conjunction with those walks, then maybe you see AJ Smith-Shawver get an opportunity in the starting rotation. I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves here. We haven't even seen AJ Smith-Shawver pitch in the big leagues. I'm just saying kind of some of the peripherals that I'm seeing with Jared Schuster do give me a little bit of worry. But one more time, bottom line is he's getting it done. He got it done on Wednesday. The offense finally breaks out in air quotes. They score 4 runs in this game on Wednesday after scoring just 3 runs in the first 22 innings of the series. Let me repeat that for you. In the first 22 innings of this series against the Oakland Athletics, the Atlanta Braves scored 3 runs. Not great. They scored 4 runs in the final 5 innings of this series in the game on Wednesday, which was enough to get the win as Jared Schuster and the bullpen did pitch pretty well on Wednesday. We're able to hold the Oakland Athletics down to just 2 runs. As far as the offense, it looked like more of the same of what we saw in the first 2 games early on. The first 7 batters were retired in order, and you thought, oh no, here we go again. 13 of the first 14 batters were retired in order, with just a single coming from Orlando Arcia, who had a big day. Then in the 5th inning, you saw Eddie Rosario get to a fastball up above the zone on an 0-2 pitch. He was able to pull it through the right side. And then Ozzy had a bad-looking swing on the first pitch of his at-bat in the 5th inning. It was a changeup down and in, swung over the top of it, looked really bad. Fought back in the account, got it to 2-1, fouled off a slider down, and then Kerfreeland tried to go with that slider again. This time got it down and in right in the same spot where that first pitch changeup was. Ozzy was ready for it this time, was able to get under it, and just snuck it over the right field wall for a big 2-run home run. It felt like a huge weight was lifted for the Atlanta Braves at that point, and then things got rolling, and you started to see this offense kind of get going. They got 2 more hits after that, after the Ozzy Albies home run, and you had another run scored in that inning. So you had a 3-run inning, a big crooked number. Then you had bases loaded with 2 outs, and then Travis d'Arnaud flew out to end the inning, but still a 3-run inning. That's great. And then you saw it continue in the 6th inning as the first 3 batters reached and you scored a run. But then with runners on 2nd and 3rd, after Ronnie stole 2nd, there were runners on the corners. Ronnie stole 2nd with a pretty hilarious slide into 2nd base. If you haven't seen it, go back and check it out. And then Olsen strikes out on a 3-2 pitch above the zone. Should have been ball 4. Riley pops out. And then Travis d'Arnaud, again in a big spot, he grounds out. And that's part of the frustration we've seen with this team, getting runners in 2nd and 3rd with less than 2 outs and not being able to bring them home. You saw that again here where it looked like maybe the offense was getting ready to break out and put the game away. And maybe we were going to get to see AJ Smith-Shawver, which is what I was rooting for. but it didn't happen. And they settled for just the four runs. They did have 14 hard hit balls in the game, just five of those for hit. So still a little bit of bad luck there, four lineouts in the game. So I thought it was a good sign still. You were seeing them continue to hit the ball hard each game in this series. They continue to make better contact. So hopefully that carries over into the series against Arizona. Acuna, I talked about him earlier in the game. Last three at-bats for him were just absolutely beautiful. You saw him serve the ball the other way, ground ball the other way for an RBI single. That was great. You also saw him get some lift on the ball, some great launch angles in that 15 to 20 degree range. He got a double and then had a tough lineout, a ball that Ruiz ran down and just barely caught. So some really good stuff from Acuna in his last three at-bats after you'd seen him, you know, outside of the Sunday game where he had four hits. And honestly, a lot of those were ground ball hits that found some holes, where you saw Acuna kind of get back into that rut. I don't want to call it a rut because he's still making hard contact, but a lot of ground balls and a lot of ground balls that were going right to defenders. Those last three at-bats, I think you started to see him make that good contact again. So hopefully this means that another home run barrage is coming soon for Acuna. Michael Harris, I actually liked the at-bats. No, it was another hitless outing. Did have a walk, but just barely missed a home run the other way twice. Had one that just went foul and one that would have gone out in two of 30 stadiums in Major League Baseball, but did fall short there in Oakland. But two balls that he stung the other way, one foul, one that died before the warning track. So I think those are encouraging signs. I'm looking for any little encouraging signs for Michael Harris right now. Orlando Arcia loved the approach in this one. A lot of you in the comments section yesterday talking about how the Braves need to change their approach. Kevin Seitzer needs to be fired, this and that. I loved what Orlando Arcia did. I mean, the team's struggling. They're struggling to get base runners. He shortened up his swing. He went the other way and got three hits in this game. Also drew a walk. I love that. Look, the Braves' offensive approach of boom or bust, looking for the home run, it's going to lead to frustrating games. But overall, it's going to work. It's worked for the last three, 4 years now that they've been this type of offense. But that doesn't mean you still can't change your approach at times just to get a hit on the board, to get a base runner, especially with nobody on. And so I love that approach from Orlando Arcia on Wednesday. I thought that was great. And then the bullpen was stress-free. Jesse Chavez came in to get out of that jam in the sixth inning. Minter, Anderson, Iglesias, all with clean innings to finish out the game. Iglesias bouncing back from that rough outing on Tuesday. So love to see that. AJ Minter only threw one cutter in this outing, and it was perfectly placed down and away from a left-handed hitter. Went for an easy ground out. I've been preaching and saying over and over, gotta use that cutter less. Only use it in you know, when you're up in the count, and use it out of the strike zone. If it's in the strike zone this season, and really last season too, it's getting hit hard. So get ahead with that fastball. Use that changeup to the righties, as he did to get a strikeout in his last at bat, and then throw that cutter down and away from righties, down and in, or down and into righties, down and away from lefties. To me, that's the combination for AJ Minter to have some success, and he did on Wednesday, and the Braves got the win. All right, next we're gonna take a look back at the month of May, a tough schedule for the Braves, obviously a frustrating month overall, and see how they did in that one, and look at the league leaders as well through the month of May. Won't see too many Atlanta Braves players up there, but also I think you'll be surprised with how well a lot of the Braves hitters performed in the month of May. A lot of really good numbers out there. We'll talk about that next. This episode is brought to you by Game Time. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash sales on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The Game Time guarantee means you'll get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take it from me. I've used Game Time before to get last minute tickets. It was easy. They were the cheapest available. And again, the process was very easy and stress free. So I highly recommend trying out the Game Time app. So download the Game Time app today, create an account, use our promo code LOCKEDONMLB. You get $20 off your first purchase. You know, you're buying tickets to some sort of event this year. Why not at least give the Game Time app a try? Use our promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get $20 off. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. The Atlanta Braves return to action on Friday night against the Arizona Diamondbacks at 9:40 p.m. Eastern. It'll be a couple of late games this weekend. Both teams coming in with a record of 33-23. Catch every pitch of the Braves' hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search Braves. All right, it's been a great week on the podcast. Got some really great views, a lot of great comments on YouTube. Really do appreciate it. Good stuff over on the audio side as well. Appreciate all the support. We'll have our mailbag podcast on Friday, so be getting ready to submit your questions for that. And then we'll do it all again next week with the Miners Monday segment on Monday. Can't wait to talk about that. My guy Nacho Alvarez starting to pick things back up again. David McCabe got called up, as did Cedric D. Grand Prix. So excited to talk about that on Monday. But this is our through Thursday through the league segment. And what I want to do this week is I'll give you the division standings, the power rankings, and then we're going to go back through the month of May, talk about the leaders for the Braves, how the Braves month went, and just league leaders overall. So I'm going to quickly go through the standings here. The Braves still are at the top of the NL East. They're four games ahead of the Mets and the Marlins. You got the Rays, who are up four games on the Orioles in the AL East. The Twins up two games on the Tigers and 3.5 games on the Guardians. The Rangers up three games on the Astros. Every team but the A's has a winning record in their last 10 games, and the A's only two wins over that stretch came against the Braves. So that's a tough one right there. Brewers up just one game on the Pirates in the NL Central. That is the tightest division race right now, with every team within five games of each other. And the Reds have won five in a row. Got some exciting young players over there. The Dodgers are on top in the NL West, but just a half game over the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have won three in a row, and the Braves are about to play them. Power rankings by MLB.com. These are from May 30th. They got the Rays, Rangers, Orioles, Braves, who have dropped two spots since their last power rankings, Dodgers, Astros, Yankees, Diamondbacks, Red Sox, and Mariners, with the Blue Jays and Twins dropping out of the top 10 and the Mets at 14. All right, let's get into our May recap. And somebody on Twitter, and I apologize, I didn't copy down the name, asked if I would give a grade for the month of May for the Braves. I'd probably give it a C. It was a tough month. They had a tough schedule. They go 15-14 overall. And, you know, titling this that they survived the month, and they did. But after a 7-3 start, just an 8-12 finish is probably why I'd give them a C instead of a C plus, or maybe even a B minus. It was tough competition, but this team is really good, and they didn't play like it for a lot of this month. It was really a lot of up and down throughout the entire month, and that will happen when you play good competition. But I'm just, you know, I'm not ready to obviously give them a great grade for the month of May, but I don't think it's maybe as bad as it could have been, you know, with some of the injuries in the rotation, although the rotation wasn't really the problem for when they didn't play well. It was the defense, the offense going silent, or the bullpen not, you know, carrying their weight on the back end of games. They played 10 series, if you include the Mets series that was carried over from April, one game they played in April. They won five of those series. They won the Mets series. They swept the Marlins, and they won series over the Orioles, Rangers, and Mariners. Those are three pretty good teams. The Braves won those series. They had series losses to the Blue Jays, who they got swept. That was the one that really hurts, until obviously losing one to the A's as well. And then they lost a series to the Dodgers at home. And then they split series with the Red Sox, a two-game series, and a four-game series with the Phillies. Top hitters for the month of May for the Atlanta Braves. As you may know, Marcell Ozuna had a really big month, .297, .360, .626. That's a .986 OPS. Nine home runs, led the Braves in the month, scored 17 runs, drove in 20, nine walks to 22 strikeouts. So a very good month for Ozuna that was much needed, although he has cooled off here over the last five games or so. Ronald Acuna Jr., .298, .372, .561. With a .933 OPS, seven doubles, seven home runs, 25 runs scored in the month of May, 17 runs batted in, 13 walks to 16 strikeouts, still keeping that strikeout rate down, and 10 stolen bases. He almost had a double-digit home run and double-digit steal month, which I think could come for him at some point this year. Sean Murphy, .313, .400, .530, a .930 OPS, three doubles, five home runs for him, 22 runs batted in. Matt Olson, 851 OPS in the month of May, 9 home runs, 21 walks, helping for a 346 on base percentage in the month of May. Austin Riley had a good month as well, 801. Or I'm sorry, Orlando Arce. These are Orlando Arce's numbers. 303, 354, 447 with an 801 OPS. Orlando Arce are really good after coming back from the micro fracture in just 22 games in the month of May. Austin Riley, 773 OPS. You know, not bad for a guy who went through just a dreadful slump at the beginning of this month and really through most of the month. Still had a 773 OPS, and Ozzie had a 730 OPS as well. Only Eddie Rosario and Michael Harris had an OPS under 700 for regular players for the Braves. Top pitchers for the Braves, Jesse Chavez, 13 games, started a game as an opener, a 0.66 ERA, a 0.73 whip, 13 and two-thirds innings, just six hits allowed, four walks, and 17 strikeouts. I don't know what to say anymore about Jesse Chavez other than the guy is just getting it done. And again, I don't know what else to say. It's just amazing the work that he's done. Bryce Elder, six games started, a 1.72 ERA, a 1.12 whip, 36 and two-thirds innings, 10 walks, and 30 strikeouts. Nick Anderson, 11 games, 11.2 innings pitched, 3.09 ERA, not fantastic, but a 0.77 whip, just two walks, 12 strikeouts. Guy just doesn't put a lot on base. He did give up a home run in the month that kind of, you know, hurt him a little bit there, but still a 0.77 whip in 11 games in the month of May is really good. Kirby Yates, some good and some bad in the month of May. 10 and two-thirds innings pitched, just five hits allowed and 16 strikeouts. That is great. But eight walks and two home runs. If he can cut down on the walks and the home runs, he really has an opportunity to become a big part of this bullpen. Strider, 33 and two-thirds innings, 57 strikeouts, which led all of baseball in the month of May, and a 1.13 whip. I know you don't love to see that ERA over four, but still, very low whip, very high strikeout rate. So those are the top performers in the month of May for the Braves. Now, looking league-wide, most wins in the month of May, Yankees had 19. That was the most in all of baseball. Rangers and Dodgers had 18. Rays, Astros, Diamondbacks, Giants, and Mariners all had 17. Worst records in May, the A's, who were 6-23, two of those wins coming against the Braves. The Pirates, after a great start to the season, go 8-18. They were the only two teams without double-digit wins in the month of May. Top hitter performances in May, Aaron Judge is on quite a roll right now. He slashed 356, 484, 918 with a 1402 OPS in the month of May. 12 home runs, 23 runs, and 25 runs batted in. You know who else had 12 home runs and 25 runs batted in the month of May? Oh, Jorge Soler did as well for the Marlins. A big month for him. And you know who else had a great month of May? Those of you who are still upset about not having Freddie Freeman may want to close your ears for a moment. Freddie Freeman slashed 400, 462, 722, and 1184 OPS, 17 doubles in the month of May. Six home runs, 28 runs scored, 26 runs batted in, 12 walks, 19 strikeouts, and four stolen bases. Freddie Freeman is still a really, really good player. Lourdes Gurriel, who the Braves are about to face with the Diamondbacks, had a really good May. 356, 423, 736 slug with an 1159 OPS and eight home runs. Juan Soto's finally starting to settle in San Diego. A 345 average, 495 on base percentage as he walked 25 times in the month of May. Also had 11 doubles and five home runs. And then Riley Green, I mentioned him. He had a really good month of May. Top prospect for the Tigers coming up. Finally looked like he was starting to figure it out. 365, 435, 573 slash line in May. But he's now out with a stress fracture in his fibula. So hate to see that. Worst hitter performances in May, Jorge Mateo for the Orioles at 316 OPS. Xander Bogaerts, 543 OPS. Willy Adames, 546 OPS. I mentioned those three guys specifically because they're all shortstops, and shortstops that a lot of people thought the Braves should have got this past offseason. And, you know, these guys could have go on to have really good years. I still like Willy Adames and Bogarts. But tough month of May for all three of those shortstops. Matt Chapman, who was a player of the month in April, 551 ops in the month of May. James Outman, rookie of the year, front runner in April of 552 ops in May. And then Brandon Marsh, who had a fantastic start to the season for the Phillies, just a 571 ops in May. Moving over to the pitcher side of things, Michael Wacha for San Diego, 3-0, a 0.84 ERA, a 0.72 whip, 32 innings, 26 strikeouts. He was great in May. Nathan Eovaldi, who the Braves saw in the month of May, 4-0, a 0.96 ERA, 0.85 whip, 31 strikeouts in 37 and two-thirds innings. Really strange to see some of these really good pitchers who don't have at least a strikeout per inning. I don't know what that says about the state of the game right now, but I found that very interesting as I was going through the list of top pitchers. Logan Webb, 3-0, a 1.30 ERA, a 0.98 whip, and just 33 strikeouts in 34 and two-thirds innings. And then you know Bryce Elder, what he did, and he also didn't strike out a batter per inning. So four of the best pitchers in the month of May, and none of them struck out over a batter an inning. So that's very interesting right there. Somebody who did strike out a batter, more than a batter an inning, is Spencer Strider. Again, I told you earlier, 57 strikeouts in the month of May. That was tops in all of baseball, and just 33 and two-thirds inning. Mitch Keller for the Pirates, 53 strikeouts in 39 innings and a 0.97 whip. And then I got to mention Zach Greinke. Talk about the ageless wonder in Jesse Chavez out of the bullpen. What about Zach Greinke? A 2.30 ERA, 0.83 whip. He only walked three batters in 31 and a third innings for the Royals over there. Great stuff from Zach Greinke. And then the worst pitching performances for May, Graham Ashcraft for the Reds. Surprising to me, he has really good stuff, but he had a 9.21 ERA and a 1.84 whip in the month of May for the Reds. 28 and third innings, 43 hits. That's a 347 batting average against in the month of May. Jordan Lyles was 0-4 with an 8.89 ERA. Alek Manoah of the Blue Jays goes 0-5 in six starts with a 6.15 ERA and 1.94 whip. Really surprising there. Clayton Kershaw, a 5.55 ERA and 1.73 whip in five games started. And then I was really surprised to see Charlie Morton. He had the 10th lowest whip among qualified starters at 1.55 and the 12th highest batting average against at 2.81 in the month of May. I know his last two starts, a little bit shaky, gave him a lot of hits, a lot of walks as well. Hopefully that's not an indication of Charlie Morton starting to fade, because I really thought he was putting it together the four starts before these last two. But not a great month of May for Charlie Morton when you look at the whip and you look at the average against. A lot of base runners for Charlie Morton, especially in those last couple starts in the month of May. All right, an off day on Thursday, then we'll have our mailbag podcast on Friday, so make sure you get ready to submit those questions. It will be Charlie Morton on the mound Friday. We'll preview that more in Friday's episode. The Braves return to action on Friday night against the Arizona Diamondbacks at 9:40 p.m. Eastern. It will be Charlie Morton on the mound for the Atlanta Braves. Not sure who's pitching for the Diamondbacks at this point, but we'll probably know more when we record Friday's podcast. Catch every pitch of the Braves' hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search Braves. That will do it for this episode of a Locked On Braves. Thank you so much for listening and making Locked On Braves your first listen of each and every day. If you're an everydayer out there, let me know down in the comments section below. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at @LockedOn_Braves. Make sure you follow me at @ShortstopBall. Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we will talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.